This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making chocolate mousse pie.
We're also tackling the truth about carbs.
Plus, we'll have a devotional thought from Pastor John Bradshaw of It Is Written and more.
Come along with us and be blessed. Good morning and happy winter morning. What does winter look like for you in your part of the world? Please let us know. We've been getting snow here in Virginia, and we would love to hear from you. Send us a message on Facebook and talk to us. We would love to hear from you.
You know, today marks the beginning of National Marriage Week. Are you married? How can you and your spouse celebrate the beauty of marriage this week?
That's a great question. We could have some fun.
That's
right. We've been married for 22 years.
That's right.
You know, marriage was designed by God to be a special connection, a special bond between one man and one woman. And when Christ is at the center, it's a beautiful thing. And we encourage you to celebrate.
Yes, we do, friends. Make it special. Maybe relive your first date, your first picture, go out to your favorite restaurant together, or enjoy some quiet time together at home.
Sounds so good. You know, marriage truly is a special thing created by God. A wonderful thing. And we're so excited to share more about this with you this morning. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1992, after centuries of conflict, Western European nations united through the Maastricht Treaty of the European Union. Signed by ministers of the European community, the treaty aimed for economic cooperation, common foreign and security policies, and collaboration on crime, terrorism, and immigration. It paved the way for the single European currency, the euro, introduced on January 1, 2002. Initially ratified by 12 nations, the European Union has since expanded to include additional countries.
This journey of Western European nations from centuries of conflict to being united teaches us an important lesson and the power of collaborating and reconciliation. You know, God calls us to be reconciled to Him and to one another. And how can we do this? Well, friends, it is only through the power of Christ that we can experience true reconciliation with one another and with God. And as we give our lives to Jesus and surrender to Him, He works in us and transforms us anew so we can experience an unbreakable bond of unity with each other and with Him.
Amen. Well, today, the healthy foodie is back and in the kitchen teaching us how to make chocolate mousse pie. Dogs are said to be man's best friend. Today we have another episode of Dog Tales as we discover another important lesson from our friends.
Cyrus is a typical Labrador. He lives for food. All I do is cut an apple and he's up, ready for the apple core. He also knows exactly when he gets fed each day. So his body clock tells him to flap his ears or give us a nudge if we've forgotten. And if we give Cyrus a clue food is coming, you watch him. Is it time? Is it time? The Bible uses eating as an illustration for spending time with God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You see, reading the Bible each day is like eating spiritual food. It brings nourishment and it provides spiritual sustenance right through the day. The first thing I've learned from Cyrus comes from his passion for eating. He loves it. I think to myself, imagine if I have the same hunger for studying the Bible. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Well, he's opened the door, so I guess I better go and join him. When it comes to eating, Cyrus has a major problem. He always scoffs it down so quickly, he feels as if he hasn't eaten. He then looks up waiting for more, which means he's always hungry. Watch this. So this is what we do to encourage Cyrus to eat more slowly. I find it interesting that Jesus says that he not only wants us to open the door and invite him into our life, he then goes on to say he wants to dine with us. What does that mean? You see, there's a big difference between eating and dining. My wife sometimes says to me, "Neil, I don't want to just eat with you. I want to dine with you." In other words, it's no use eating together if I've got the TV on or the laptop open doing my emails. But if we spend regular quality time dining together, taking our time, we enjoy the moment and become closer to each other in the process. I'm a bit like Cyrus. I need to learn how to spend time dining instead of eating. What about you?
Are you enjoying today's program? Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
When we return, we will have music, but first we have doctor's orders.
That's it. I've eaten my last potato.
But you love potatoes. What's happened?
Well, you of all people should know carbs are poison.
Are you sure?
Of course, I read it in this food magazine. It says...
carbs are poison.
See, you do know.
Oh, I know all the slogans, Daniel, but they're not really true, most of them.
So are you telling me they're just trying to sell a magazine and they're really not interested in our health?
Well, whatever the motive, to say that carbs are poison is simply wrong. You see, simple carbs are generally bad. Complex carbs are actually really good for us.
So you always have these 101 complicated rules. I'm a simple man. Can't you make it simple?
Well, I'll try. So if it's a whole vegetable, fruit, grain or nut, and we haven't done much with it, it will be loaded with complex carbohydrates, and that's good. But if we've refined and processed it, then it turns it into simple carbohydrates, and that's not good. And then depending how much of each we eat can be good or bad.
Whoa, that is simple, but what does it mean?
Well, let's take a salad. A salad is full of lovely whole foods, right? But then we pour on lots of dressing and cheese and croutons. Now we've turned that meal into a refined meal on a bed of lettuce. That's not good. And then if we take brown rice, that's generally better than white rice. Whole grain pasta is better than white pasta.
But Nerida, what about my precious potatoes? They're bad, aren't they?
Well, I think you can keep your precious potatoes because they are a good source of complex carbohydrates. But...
no but.
But...
oh no, here it comes again.
If you load it up with sour cream and cheese and butter or fry it, then you've turned your potato from a friend to a foe.
So keep the potatoes but lose the fries?
Exactly. And the butter. If it's a whole food, then likely it's a superfood. Go ahead and eat it. Doctor's orders.
Collingsworth family joins us now this morning as they sing Mercy and Love.
Yes, I'm saved by mercy and love, cleansed by the power of precious blood. Sweet salvation from above. Saved by mercy and love. Saved by mercy and love. Oh, yeah.
have a fiery grave. Free from the wages of my sin. It feels so good to be born again.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share with your friends. They can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
We'll be right back with today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written. Welcome back, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
It is really good to see you. God bless you today. I hope your day has started well. Let's take a moment to consider a thought from the Bible together. I want to tell you about an experience I had. A number of years ago, I was in Northern California, standing in a parking lot with a friend. I looked up into the mountains to the east, or like right nearby, and I was alarmed. The mountain was on fire. Way up high, there was a red glow. I said to my friend, "The mountain is on fire. Way up high, there is a red glow." And he looked up and he said, "Oh, man, you're right, man. I said, "What do we do?" He said, "Well, the authorities will be alerted, no doubt. We're not the only people around here who've seen it." We chatted. We weren't worried, but the red in the mountain started to get a little closer. It looked like they were on fire. We thought, man, the fire is blazing and getting bigger. But we're not hearing a fire siren. We're not hearing any activity. We're not seeing anything. It was nighttime now, nighttime. And then it dawned on us. The mountains weren't on fire at all. That red glow was doing a strange thing. It wasn't flames. It was the aurora borealis, the northern lights, which are not viewed every day in Northern California, you understand. It's kind of a rare occurrence. I said, do you think that's the Northern Lights? He said, I think it is. Looking up in the up into the, whatever it was, the mountains, I suppose, not really the sky. I said, oh, I have to tell my wife. We've got to grab our baby boy. The boy was just a little fellow. He wasn't even a year old, but he wasn't going to miss this. And we jumped in the car. We put the car seat with the baby in the car. I asked my friend, I was unfamiliar with the area. This was near Oroville in Northern California, not very far from Paradise. And I said, where should I drive? I want to get out in the country and get a better look at this because the mountain's kind of in the way. He said, go this way, go that way. And we did. We drove out into the country. It was sort of a valley. And we saw these red lights. We leaped out of the car with holding my little boy. Thank the Lord, it was a hospitable time of year. And as we stood there at the side of the road by the car, these great big beams, these shafts of red light came knifing down through the valley near us. They came right by us, passing us slowly by. It was like the legs of some great big, awkward, uncoordinated monster were walking down through the valley. Most phenomenal thing I'd ever seen. It was like science fiction, but better. And I'm not any science fiction fan anyway. It was like special effects, but better. These were God's special effects. And we stood out there late at night, gazing into the sky, looking all around us, just amazed, jaws open, huh? Gazing. We couldn't look away. Couldn't look away. Never forgot it. The light show ended just about as suddenly as it began. And we drove home just saying, wow, God just showed us something really spectacular. Many years later, about 20 years later, 19 maybe, my wife and I and our daughter, not our son, we were in Alaska. And we wondered while we were there in Alaska during spring break, beautiful Alaska, will we be able to see the Northern Lights? We went online and I don't know if it's some Northern Lights finder and it said, yes, it seems like the activity is going to be good over these few nights. And on this night, it's really going to be great. Well, on one evening, we looked across the maybe the water and we saw something that approximated or resembled a sort of a yellowy glow. We think that was the Northern Lights, but it was a pretty pale, pretty tame affair. It wasn't anything much. But we were waiting to go out late one night and see the real thing. So it was a Friday night, and we knew that this was going to be the night. We piled into the car. It was Alaska in March. It was colder than cold. We drove out into the countryside. I thought, let's get up on a mountain. Can't get on a mountain in Alaska. I mean, you never get to, you can't drive to the top of those things. Even though it wasn't a mountainy mountain, we'd have been still driving looking for the top of that. So, but by that time we were seeing white lights, beams of lights or shaft of lights, shafts of light in the sky, in the clouds. We thought, wow, that's pretty cool. But it's white light, kind of like someone's holding a big flashlight. We said, we need a better vantage point. We got down out of there and we drove towards Palmer, Alaska. Not all the way, but kind of getting over close towards Palmer. We found a little out-of-the-way place, pulled over to the side of the road. Another car was there. We climbed up. Cold, man. Cold. Wanting to take photographs of this, but the fingers were cold. We looked up into the sky, and there was, it's like a green curtain being let down. A wavy green curtain, or maybe a flag. And it was green for the most part and a little bit yellow. And we took our photos and we gazed into the sky and we looked at each other. We said, how cool is this? And we looked at God's special laser light show in the sky. And we couldn't look away. It was phenomenal. The Bible describes itself as light. God said that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path in Psalm 119. And it says in the same psalm, God, open my eyes that I may behold or see wondrous things in your law. If you want it to be, the Bible can be a pretty boring book. Honestly, if you want it to be, Jesus was getting around doing his thing and the disciples were doing theirs, a bunch of kings and a whole lot of numbers and, I don't know, sacrifices. If you want it to be, if you want it to be. But if you want it to be, oh, the Bible is the most remarkable book in the world. There was Jesus, the divine Son of God, showing us what our Heavenly Father is actually like. There was Jesus opening the eyes of the blind, causing the lame to walk, bringing the dead back to life. Oh, this was Jesus, the disciples working miracles. Some of them had their problems. They learned from Jesus, this Jesus who gave his life so that they and we might live. You read the remarkable things that took place in the Old Testament, the stories concerning Elijah and Elisha, who worked even more miracles than his predecessor. Given the accurate definition of the word, he wasn't really his predecessor, but the one who went before him. Elisha did more than Elijah in terms of amazing miracles, you understand. Fire down from the sky in Elijah's time. Dead people brought back to life in Elisha's time. And we're just scratching the surface. The creation story, the Exodus, the story of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, God guiding his people through the wilderness. The amazing promises that Jesus is one day going to come back. And you're wasting your time scrolling around on Facebook? I'm not telling you that that's all bad. Of course it's not. How much time are you making for the Word of God? You look into it, you won't be able to look away. Read the Bible. Feed on the Bible. I know for a fact that most people, even who go to church, don't regularly read their Bible. Of those that do read, they don't read it systematically. Are you reading to feed? Read to feed. Are you reading to grow? Are you reading to know the Lord? Are you letting the Word of God wash around inside your mind and change you from the inside out? Are you letting the Spirit of God fill you with His presence and thrill you with the great revelations that Scripture contains? I hope I get to see the Northern Lights again. Spectacular. Maybe the Southern Lights, the Aurora Australis. That'd be great. But if not, I know where to see the light. It's spectacular. You'll see things you can hardly believe. Take your Bible, open it up, look into it long and longingly. You won't be able to look away.
Thank you, Pastor John, for encouraging us this morning.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. We enjoyed our time together.
Don't forget to join us tomorrow. The Parenting Place will be back with helpful tips. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought, and we'll talk about shark attacks and so much more.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible studies will be such a blessing to you.
We can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise comes from John chapter 14, verse 27.
It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid."
You know, have you ever felt anxious, overwhelmed, stressed, depressed, or even downcast? Well, this beautiful promise is for you. Draw near to God. He has promised to fill you with His peace, a peace that will transcend all human understanding, a peace that nothing else in this world could ever provide.
Amen. Friends, we pray you have begun this day with a smile and a heart full of gratitude to God. May the Lord bless you richly.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, yes, yes, and yes, we need peace. We need peace that only you can give, your peace. So Lord, today, beginning with Heidi and I and every single one of our friends viewing today, grant us your peace. We pray that we would go throughout this day. Yes, we're going to face circumstances that may be very difficult, but Lord, would you keep peace in our hearts? And we thank you because I know this is a prayer that you love to answer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.